Welcome to Indonesia Digital Deconstructed, where we break apart and dive deep into the different parts of the Indonesian tech scene to get an insider's look into how each space is evolving. Leveraging off our research, proprietary insights, and working with leading entrepreneurs, we'll bring you the insider's view of the industry as we navigate our way around one of the world's fastest growing tech scenes. All right, welcome back to IDD, everyone. Let's get to the news. I think in our previous episode, most of our audience should know that we covered the Bain, Google, and Temasek E-Economy C-2023 report, but I think fewer members of the audience will know that AC Ventures and Bain also released a report on Indonesia's venture capital industry for 2023. So the report suggests an imminent upswing despite a variety of headwinds, and global investors and local investors alike should be bullish on spaces like electric vehicles, renewable energy, healthcare, and new retail. So projections for 2023 have reverted to historical means with an anticipated 70 to 80% deal decline in value compared to 2022. Though that's no surprise, as there has been a decline in the overall global economy during this time. So the funding pace did come down through Q3. And, investors appear to have shifted focus towards new investment themes. I do kind of want to focus on this electric vehicle space for a moment. So for those of you guys who don't know, over 37% of global nickel production occurs in Indonesia, and 22% of the global reserves are here. And nickel is, a key ingredient to lithium-ion batteries of electric vehicles. And the local government has ambitious carbon emissions goal that actually surpasses the commitment that the country made to the Paris Agreement. So we do see a lot of investors making bets, particularly in the electric two-wheeler space. However, adoption's quite nascent at this point, right? So it's still less than 0.2% of all the motorcycles on the road. Whereas you look at India, you look at China, and you're talking about much bigger double-digit penetration numbers. So I think if the government continues its current outlook on electric vehicles, and you still see private actors like venture capital firms backing startups here, I think we may see some clear winners emerge, but maybe not in the short term, but perhaps in the mid to long term over the next 5 years. So Adrian, as an investor, I just kind of wanted to understand, how are you thinking about the outlook on EVs given the current climate?
So I think in terms of EV, Indonesia is a country that is blessed with some of the ample supplies of the raw material. You mentioned nickel. But I think what the government has done, which is quite smart, is to ensure that they have further value capture downstream. I think in the past, Indonesia has, while they've been rich in certain natural resources, a lot of that's been exported, not processed onshore. And therefore, they haven't been able to bring back a lot of the higher margin and higher value work that's done with these things. So with nickel ore, they've actually banned the export of it. And this is intended to ensure that there is further investment in the downstream processing of the nickel. Whether that further then translates down the line to the creation of battery technology itself in Indonesia, I think is uncertain. China is for sure the leader globally in terms of the manufacture and design of battery technology, but at least it's a step in that right direction. So I think when we think about EV investments that have been done to date, a lot of the investments have happened around a consumer theme. It's around primarily the fact that Indonesia has the largest installed base of two-wheelers in the world, about 100 million. And therefore, anticipating that over time, these consumers and individuals and micro, small, medium enterprises and other users of ICE motorcycles would be moving to adopting EV into the future. That's where a lot of the investment thesis has been built. I think there's still a long way to get there. If you compare to India, where I think they've now crossed the tipping point of adoption to over 4.5% penetration of EV. Indonesia is still far behind. And therefore, it will take several years not only for the adoption to happen, but also for the supporting infrastructure and ecosystem to be able to have more widespread adoption of electric vehicles. But nonetheless, it is a big opportunity now. And I think the winners of this space will be the companies that actually look at creating a product, say a two-wheeler product that is suitable for domestic use. And that doesn't mean simply identifying a best-in-class EV manufactured in China or elsewhere and bringing it into Indonesia. It actually means thinking about the component parts and potentially assembling a two-wheeler motorcycle that is specifically optimal for the Indonesian use case. And the Indonesian use case is that these motorcycles are used on a daily means as if it's like someone's car. They're used for transporting more than one person. They're frequently used for transporting goods, and therefore they have to have the ability to carry larger payloads. Also, they need to typically have longer ranges as well as the requisite power in order to be able to be used every day. So there's probably lots to look out for here, and in time we'll see who those winners can be.
Maybe you can give me some color based on what Pandu and Helen may have shared with you on their recent trip to India. And is that market using self-charging or battery swapping or a combination of both? And what are your thoughts for how it might unfold here in Indonesia?
In India, I understand there have been investments into both. And there is, I think, sufficient adoption now demonstrated in India such that it's worth investing into the distribution of battery swapping technologies. I think in Indonesia thus far, with all of the nascent opportunities out there, there are several key aspects. One, well, penetration's not there yet. Two, of each of the players that are building consumer-facing two-wheelers, there's no standardization of the battery. And therefore, that will limit any opportunity to do battery swapping itself. In fact, we've also seen Electrum pivot from initially partnering with Taiwanese Gogoro, which is a battery swapping business, to now having, I believe, a self-charging or completely self-built solution for Indonesia. I think that's both for cost reasons and also for suitability reasons to the local Indonesian market. So I think right now, primarily, the opportunities have been in self-charging EV motorcycles, which will be self-charging as well.
Interesting. And, you know, of course, if the government will be involved in the battery swapping infrastructure that needs to exist across the country, of course, that will take time. And perhaps self-charging, you know, if the ultimate future for electric vehicles in Indonesia, it does become battery swapping, perhaps the self-charging is a way to get us there, right? And it's definitely, I think, something we can act on right now. So that's new sectors that, you know, Bain and ACV kind of believe are going to be the industries of the future, if you will. But I want to just zoom out here for a little bit. So despite these headwinds, you know, already discussed in previous episodes, actually Indonesia's digital economy reached $82 billion U.S. dollars in value, you know, this 2023, and it remains on track to hit $360 billion in value by 2030. And shortly after the report came out, a variety of interesting headlines came out suggesting that the U.S.-China tensions are cooling after the recent meeting between Biden and Xi Jinping. And meanwhile, Indonesia's inflation is lower than other nations around the world, around 3.3%. And GDP growth is back in full swing, reaching 5.2% this year. So those are some strong macro elements at play, as well as the proof is in the numbers here in terms of the value of the digital economy. So I kind of want to make a crystal ball prediction. I was also speaking to one of the VPs at ACV about this. The funding winter for later stage deals in highly regulated sectors, we believe, will thaw in the second half of 2024. So in the previous episode, I had expressed optimism, right? There's ample dry powder in the market. There's stronger startups post down cycle challenges, and there are attractive investor valuations afoot, right? But the untouched aspect is that Indonesia's election season is upon us, and there will be a new administration after February 14th of 2024, which means, you know, there will be more political certainty for investors. So for example, if you are a later stage fintech trying to raise a large round in Indonesia, sometimes you might find investors that are hesitant and might wait until there's a new administration. So we're thinking that after the new administration takes office, that it might be a little bit smoother in terms of these later stage deals in highly regulated sectors. Just wanted to understand what kind of extra color you have.
So I think when it comes to 2024 and looking at where investment and funding will happen, I agree that in the second half, we're likely to see more later stage deals done, whether it's an easing of interest rates, further visibility into the Indonesian election and improving macro conditions. I think those are all contributing factors. I think a nuance there is that I think by second half of 2024, many of the later stage technology companies, which had raised in 21 and 22, will by this stage be forced into either raising again, or those which continue to have capital will be able to lead a consolidation of other industry players. And I think that's going to be a great part of the ecosystem where we can create clear leaders in each of those industry segments and also actually have remarkable investment opportunities that take advantage of the weak sentiment towards later stage technology and also get some incredible valuations and an opportunity to take on all of the investment that the prior capital had made into these businesses. So we'd definitely be on the lookout for some really great deals towards the second half of 24. I think the second thing is, whether you call this early stage or late stage, is I think now we're seeing more and more opportunities arise, which are looking at technology as an enabler or as a tool, not just technology as an industry. Quite frankly, technology is in every industry. It doesn't matter whether it's pure digital or whether it's a certain traditional industry that is embracing technology. Technology as a tool can help businesses scale, can improve profitability and margins, and can lower costs. And therefore, I think we're going to see a move towards more investment into companies and industries which may not immediately look as if it's technology, but actually they have incorporated or have the ability to incorporate technology to create faster growing and big outcome businesses. I think the third thing to mention is that I think coming into second half of 2024, with an improving market, we're likely to see more exits, whether that is through secondary sales to later stage investors, acquisitions, or even potentially an opening of the IPO market, both overseas and domestically. I think that is something that both investors and also the LPs of the investors are looking quite seriously at achieving.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's going to be part of the conversation at large. The Indonesia Venture Capital 2023 report by Bain and AC Ventures is available online. Check out our website or Bain's to download it, and we'll see you next time.